A selling mood hits global stock markets today as the trade war turns to currencies. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Stock markets around the world are entering the week, analysts say, shaken by President Trump's surprise move last week to apply tariffs to $300 billion more in Chinese goods. The Wall Street Journal today is reporting Trump made this decision against the advice of most of his top lieutenants. A round of trade talks in Shanghai some days earlier was seen as unproductive. Today, for the first time in 11 years, China's currency, the yuan, was allowed to fall so that it now costs more than 7 yuan to buy one U.S. dollar, the first time it's broken through this 7 level in 11 years. Market participants are wondering today if that represents Beijing's retaliation, since a lower yuan can counteract the effect of U.S. tariffs. In London, the 100-share index is down 1.9% now. The DAX in Germany down 1.6%. Hong Kong's Hang Seng fell 2.9% overnight. Here, the Dow future is down 1.2%, 328 points. The NASDAQ future down 1.7%. Michael Hewson is chief market analyst at CMC Markets in London.
If you put these tariffs on these Chinese goods, it obviates the impact. It actually makes them more expensive. So while the incoming goods may actually be cheaper in terms of exporting, when you levy the tariff on top, it actually has a slightly inflationary effect, because the end result is the US consumer actually pays more. And the big thing about these additional tariffs on the remaining $300 billion is they're on consumables, everyday items that U.S. consumers wear, like sneakers, clothing, electrical items, toys. And coming up to Christmas, I think you could see a significant impact on consumer spending if these tariffs come into effect on the 1st of September. At the moment, there doesn't appear any likelihood of either side backing away from further confrontation. And that is why markets are selling off aggressively.
Michael Hewson, chief market analyst at CMC Markets in London. Now to the benefits of hindsight. If you had invested in Disney at the beginning of the year, you would have made by now about a 40% return. 40% in 7 months, not bad. Disney, which reports profits this week, is not some hot startup, but it's doing well. Here's Marketplace's Sabri Benishore.
Anyone who bought a lot of Disney stock in January could, if they wanted to, be singing Hakuna Matata right on over to the bank.
They completely dominate the box office.
Jessica Reif Ehrlich is a senior analyst with Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Avengers, Lion King, Toy Story 4, all doing well. The first of two Star Wars theme park attractions is doing well too. So well, in fact, that Disney has had to find ways of holding off visitors.
They've raised prices more than we can recall in decades, and they've limited the time consumers are allowed to be in the Star Wars themed area. I'm not sure they've ever done that.
But the real magic for Disney stock came back in April, when the stock surged 13% overnight after it announced it was offering a streaming service called Disney Plus. Michael Smith is a professor at Carnegie Mellon University.
I think everybody recognizes that the on-demand streaming world and the ability to reach customers directly is going to be a huge part of the future of entertainment.
Disney's taken on Netflix, and there is a very good chance it can hold its own in that fight. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson has been out looking at the tough choices that face auto workers and their families since GM announced that it was stopping production at 5 plants this year. On the day the factory in Lordstown, Ohio ended production, so did some of its suppliers, including Magna Seating, which made seats for the Chevy Cruze. Today and tomorrow here, Tracy has the stories of two former Magna employees who've taken different tacks in the face of losing their jobs. Today, a worker who decided to forego job retraining benefits and search for another job.
Rick Anzavino just knew that more school wasn't for him. He's in his late 40s, already has an accounting degree.
I chose that in college for some reason. I never found my passion. So I did that for about 6 years, and I was just miserable.
A friend suggested a job in manufacturing, making car seats, which Rick did for almost 20 years, working on the assembly line and in quality control. It wasn't his passion, per se, but he liked it more than accounting.
I never had the desire to go back. I could do my job while I'm still conversating with people at work, and it was, I just found it better fit for myself.
But the same day in March that GM stopped making new cars in Lordstown, the Magna Seating plant where Richt worked shut its doors.
So I started looking for jobs, and they all seemed the same. $10 to $12, $13 an hour in this area. Tons of hours.
And it wasn't hard to find a new job. He was hired on the spot by an aluminum fabricator. But at the new job, Richt works more hours for less pay. At Magna, he was making $21.50 an hour.
Once I get through the probationary period, I'll still be making $7 an hour less than what I was making at Magna. Now, the overtime helps cover a lot of that. But, you know, you're working 54 hours to make just a little bit less than you made on 40 hours.
And he has to work the overnight shift, 6 days a week. Richt says the overnights actually aren't so bad. It means he can get his two daughters off to school while his wife works. And the pay difference is manageable. He and his wife have never been big spenders.
We've been fortunate and, I guess, like, pretty smart with our money because, look, we bought a smaller house. We got smaller cars. We've been able to pay our house off and save some money. So I only need so much.
But just having one day off a week, Richt says that's been really hard. His wife, Amy Ansovino, has noticed it wearing on him.
His one day off, you know, he goes to visit his dad or helps take care of him too.
Richt's dad had a stroke last year.
Seems like things that I used to do on the weekend, I got to get done during the week too, because I don't have a weekend.
Mowing the lawn, trying to spend some time with his kids.
I guess it could be worse.
So he's keeping an eye out for other work, but most of what he sees is more of the same. Low pay and lots of hours. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.